Just a couple of brief things that I want to point out from this story. We had a little bit of fun at the expense of James and John and their mother. But I want to point something out that was a bit virtuous in her question when she said, "I want my boys to sit on your left and on your right." And I think that it would be easy for us to become cynical towards her, and I think that that might be dangerous. But I think we must keep this in mind, that she asked for something great for her children. And so you know this, that whoever sits on the throne gets a crown. Yeah? Whoever sits on the left and the right of the throne, if you're sitting up there with the king, what do you get? You get a crown. Every king, his queen gets a what? He might be the king, but she still gets a crown. And so what is she saying? I want my boys to share in this authority that you're about to have. I want them to share in the responsibility that you're about to have. And so we must keep in mind that they've only ever had one idea of what it means to be king. And so they believe that Jesus is king and that he's Messiah, that he is going to rule over the world and he's going to set things right. And so, but they're believing the right thing, but they've got the wrong imagination, that they believe he's going to put on the scarlet robe and fur trimmed and a big old gold crown and maybe a golden scepter and a big old glorious sword. And so she says, "I want my boys to be a part of this great thing that you're about to do." And I want to point this out, that Jesus doesn't rebuke her. And he doesn't rebuke the boys for wanting to be great. I need to say something to this congregation. I need to say something to you. It's false humility that wants to shrink back and say, "Oh, I'm just a nothing and a nobody. I don't need to do anything great. I don't have to want to do anything great." Or any time that you think and go, "I could own a business," or "I could find a wife and start a family," or "I could be called to the ministry," or "I could do great things for my city," or "I might even could do great things for my nation." And then you look in the mirror and go, "No, it's wrong. I can't want to do those things. That's ambitious and prideful." That's a lie. That is a lie. It is not wrong to want to do great things. It is not wrong to want to hand something better to the world around you. It is not wrong for you to want to leave a good and lasting mark on the lives of those that you share this life with. I need to say something to this church. It's not wrong for us to want to do great things. Thank you, Thomas, is with me. I love that man right there. It never fails. It is not wrong for the Gate Church to pick ourselves up and look around and go, "We're going to keep leaving a mark on this city that it echoes for generations to come." It's not wrong for us to say, "God, use us to do something great." It's not wrong for you to say, "Lord, I want a crown. Use me to do something great." It's not wrong to want to be great. But, you have to be willing to drink the cup and to bear the baptism. We have to be willing to say yes to the cup and to the baptism. Do you want to know why I think churches don't leave the mark that they're supposed to leave in the world? And I say this with some trepidation. Because we want the crown, but we don't want the cup. I think sometimes that's what goes wrong even in our own homes. We want the crown of a good marriage, but we don't want to drink the cup of what it takes to have one. We want the crown of being a good and put together family, but we don't want the baptism of what it takes to have a true and healthy family. We want the crown that comes with being a businessman, but we may not want the cup or the baptism that's required in order to have it. Part of the great encouragement that we have in Holy Week is that Christ said yes to his cup and his baptism, and he came out on the other side better. So here's what that means for you and I. Whatever cup that God has for you to drink, you can drink it. Whatever baptism that God has for you to be baptized in, you can take it. You was built for it. How do I know this? What does that mean to be baptized into something? Like baptized in water? Is that what he's talking about? Now, Jesus is speaking a bit more metaphorical in this baptism, but here's what I do believe he's saying. We won't go there today for the sake of brevity like I promised, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is writing about the people of Israel, and he uses a very interesting expression about the people of Israel being baptized into Moses. Now, Moses is just a guy, so what's he talking about? He's speaking literally and a little bit metaphorically, but here's simply what it means, and this is the country version. But it means that when the people were baptized into Moses and Moses into the people, that their hearts are now connected so deeply that they have to walk together. And so here's what that means is Moses represents God to the people and he represents people to God. And so when God gets ticked off, Moses feels that and he has to go and say, people, now we need to do what's right because we're not living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And then when the people get frustrated, he has to go to God and say, God, the people's really frustrated. And so what does that mean when you're baptized into somebody? It means when they're in pain, I'm in pain. It means when they're happy, I'm happy. Because why? We've been baptized into one another. We're in holy covenant together with one another. That's why when you get married, it's not okay if your wife is destitute and you're riding around in a Rolls Royce. Oh, that's good preaching right there, Holly. You should have been waving your hanky. That's how you get a new car right there. And so it's not okay that everything's going okay on my job, but if she's having a rough time on her job, I can't go, well, that don't matter because I'm the one making the money, so you just get over it. That's not real living. That's not accurate. There's some wives should really be helping me right there. And you know what else that means? That means that when my hubby is hurting, I can't run around tweeting like a bird. I have to understand we've been baptized into one another. We're in covenant with one another, and so when they're hurting, I'm hurting. I believe that makes sense. It's easy for us to see when we think about marriage. It's the same way with our children. So when our kids are hurting, we're hurting. There's some parents in here who'll help me testify. I don't know how much money you made that week, but when you come home and little Jimmy had a bad week, it breaks your heart. Well, now let's take that type of thinking and let's apply it not to the church down the street. Let's apply it to our church. How do we do when our city is in pain? How do we do when they're hungry and when they're cold? How do we do when our city is trapped in cycles of dysfunction? I'll give you a religious term for it, generational iniquity, generational cursing, that it seems it doesn't matter how hard they want to step away from living in poverty, they can't seem to get their foot out of the trap. How do we do? Do we just ride by it and go, that's too bad? Do we look at people who are trapped in sinful lifestyles and go, well, you better be careful of that. That's a freight train to hell. I remember when the people had ticked God off and God says, Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. What did Moses do? Who remembers? He goes before God and he pleads with God. God, you can't do it. Don't wipe them out, God. They don't deserve it. Don't do it. And God relented from Moses. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you wept over your city? When was the last time we wept over our city? When was the last time we went before God and we stood in the gap, not just for my four, but when was the last time we stood in the gap for our city saying, God, pour your presence out on our city. God, withhold judgment. God, withhold pestilence and plague. Withhold sickness and disease. God, withhold the things that we deserve that are wrong. God, bless us. God, keep us. God, pour out good things on us. When was the last time you went and pled for a city? Why am I asking you these questions? Hear me. I believe that this congregation has a noble history of being forerunners in the spirit and in the natural. I believe that this congregation has a rich history of loving this city. If we packed up and went home today, the generation that has traveled this far, I think could have a measure of peace that they left their mark on Oklahoma City. But the Lord led me to this passage, and this is what He told me to say to you. The Lord said, I want you to go tell the Gate Church that I am bringing them into a fresh season of baptism into Oklahoma City. Because I'm not done with what I want to do in and through Oklahoma City, and I'm going to use the Gate Church to get it done. Now, He didn't name other churches to me. He said, you go tell the Gate Church that I'm bringing a fresh baptism to them, and I'm going to connect their hearts to Oklahoma City in a fresh way like never before. And so I need to go ahead and let you know now, if you're saying yes to what you just heard in your heart, you need to get ready to be uncomfortable. You need to get ready to be up at night. You need to get ready to be radical in your giving. I don't know if you just heard what I just said. I believe that this church is taking up a fresh baptism, that we're going to take responsibility for those that are cold and hungry. We're going to take responsibility for those that are destitute and broken. And we're going to take responsibility for those that are trapped and have been held captive in generational brokenness. Because we've been baptized into Oklahoma City. We can't be content to get our blessing while it goes to hell. We can't be content that our family stay together when theirs wind up busted. We can't be content that we eating five course and they eating beanie weenies. God is bringing us a fresh baptism where our hearts are going to be connected in a fresh new way to our city.